Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology, where three astrologers get together on the internet and answer your questions, talk about what's going on in the heavens above, and I'm pleased to announce all three of us are here tonight. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm here at the bright red desk on the Upper East Side, and I see Mark and Heather out there. Mark, you out there?
Yes, I'm over on the west side, Manhattan, by the river.
Okay. By the river. And Heather?
This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from western Montana, where it is 4 degrees out with 4 inches of snow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
It's 54 here, but it's a little gray and rainy. But, wow, yeah, 4 degrees,
it's,
man.
It really dropped fast. I mean, it was right after our Samhain ritual. It just it went straight from fall to winter. And
wow.
I think it'll go back to fall again, but this is, you know, the era of new weather extremes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wish I could send some of this to California.
Yeah, they're fires, especially with Venus going into Sag tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to get even bigger, so unfortunately.
With Mercury stationary,
yeah.
I think that all of the communication and transportation problems that are, you know, they've without electricity out there, that's really bad.
Yeah.
And they're finding out how much of it's been about misuse of funds rather than that the electric company is calling for power outages because they spent the money that was allocated for repairs to PR and bonuses rather than on repairing the systems. And
oh, wow.
They're dangerous.
Okay. Mm. Well, I hadn't heard that. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
It's the news is just so out of control right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, we just had in New York, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein, the medical examiner who the family sent said, no, he thought it was strangulation, you know, the hyoid bones. 3 breaks, I guess, is a little more than
normal. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, so it is Mercury stationing in Scorpio.
In Scorpio, yes.
In Scorpio, and he is stopped in the sky, so... and he is really chatting up the secrets. So I think we're going to find out a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in our own lives, too, because he's hanging out with Venus and he's hanging out with Athena. And Athena is always helping us see strategies in new ways. We've got Nancy Pelosi voting on the impeachment rules tomorrow on the Mercury station. It's just...
Can we beg with her to just wait a day, you know?
No, I'm like good with it. It's like Mercury retrograde. We got to go dig up the stuff in Scorpio.
Let's
we got to dig
the
up
stuff.
The stuff. And then it goes direct in the end of it goes direct January or November 20th and clears its shadow in December. We're all, you know, I mean, with this Mercury in Scorpio, it's just really deep. So a lot of people I know are really rolling around on the ground feeling like they got stomach punched. Yeah, then it's stuff's coming out if it needs to be lanced or the boil is bursting or, you know, just reveals that make people go, oh, and a lot of health, too, because Scorpio is revealing health things. You know, Alex Trebek just came in and said pancreatic cancer not going so well. And, so a lot of people are getting health diagnoses. I've got one of my students, her mom had an operation today. I've got another one whose dad is not doing so well. So it is a time to really spend time retrograde, revisit, revise, redo, because our E words, you know, and really connect with your loved ones, because crazy that it is, this is a time of, you know, really coming to terms with the ends of things, because we are in the fall going into winter. And so as the light fades from the northern hemisphere, I know we have some listeners down south below the equator, but it really is a time of letting go and releasing and saying, okay, that's finished. And, you know, as much grace as we can summon to do it, you know.
There's a reason we have the Scorpio season.
Yeah. It brings
and the
up
shedding
a lot
and composting.
Yes. Totally.
And there is if this is a southern hemisphere, there is something, you know, because every sign holds the potency of the opposite sign. Taurus holds some of the Scorpio shedding, and when we're in Taurus season, And even here, as you know, the new growth pushes out the old growth, and we have to compost it in order for the new growth to grow. So that you can feel those new seeds going, gestating, even as we're letting go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, under the blanket of snow in Montana, and under the gray skies of Manhattan, the Isle of Manhattan. We also have a Mars square Pluto that perfects next week on Tuesday, but it leapt over Saturn. And one of the, you know, Mark and I, you know, and you when you're in town. Oh, wanted to say to everybody, Mark and Heather and I are going to be having a weekend in New York, March 13th to the 14th. So we're going to be putting stuff up. Makes a great Christmas present or Hanukkah present. It's a nice thing you don't have to dust, you don't have to wrap, you get to come and learn stuff. So we'll let you know when we're working on the topics for it. But we'll be posting it, so save those dates and put it on your Christmas list. Because, you know, right after Halloween is Christmas shopping. But the Mars-Pluto square is coming, and one of the women in class on Tuesday said, you know, she was riding the escalator. She was at the Time Warner building going shopping at the Whole Foods there. And she got off the escalator, and a woman punched her in the face. And so she went over to get security, and this woman is standing there as people get off the escalator punching them, you know. And so the security went over. They called the police. The woman's like, shoot me, you know, and it was kind of like, whoa.
Oh, my God.
And so Mars hopped over Saturn, which was the restriction, and she started wailing away. So, you know, being aware of this Mars-Saturn approach, it is a war aspect. It is people being particularly wrought in their feelings and their emotions. So it's
just
also kind of...
just in time, Deb, for the world to have been pissed off by how we handled that last assassination.
Yes.
And the disrespect that our president showed our enemies. I mean, it just... I think, kind of designed to bait a response. So I'm a little worried about that, Mars-Pluto in that square, because Mercury in Scorpio tends to fixate on revenge. Let's just kind of hope, let's not fixate on revenge ourselves and pray that we can get through this in a good way. I've seen some wonderful research being done right now, and people are doing, genetic research. They're doing ancestral research. They're doing, you know, all kinds of interesting stuff that in my client load. And I was like, yeah, perfect. Use that, Scorpio. Go dig things out. Go find what you want to find out. But the other side is that revenge and, how can I punch your face?
How can I punch your face,
And well,
Mark,
Mercury's also sextiling Pluto. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mercury's sextiling Pluto. That adds to it. Plotting the revenge. I found myself the other day kind of plotting one, and I thought, well, look at you, you know.
Yeah, it's easy
and
to
I'm
get.
Like, well, I don't want bad karma if I do that. You know, I want to plot revenge, but I don't want bad karma. You know?
Yeah.
That was always, always hard.
Well, remember, you can't control your first thought, but you can have a choice about the second one.
Right. And the 10th.
Right, so Scorpio season.
It is Scorpio season. This is where we all get to feel what the Scorpios live with all the time. So all of you kind of go, why are they like that? This is why. Watch what you're feeling in your life somewhere.
Yeah, now you know.
Now you know how they have to cope all their life. It's not easy to
I want to congratulate the two of you, before Mercury went retrograde, that the article in the New Yorker magazine, which was a really, it's a New Yorker magazine on astrology. It's really investigating how people are seeing it, so it has to be a little snarky around the edges. But for New Yorker, it was really quite positive, and you two are mentioned many times. So I was proud of you two.
Yep, she came to our group a couple times, and she mentioned the people in the group. So one of the students, Mark left before she asked, so I'm sure she'll ask him next week. She bought a copy of the New Yorker, and she wanted us to autograph it because we were mentioned.
Oh.
So she had me autograph it, and then George, who was described as a man with a light mustache, and then the woman with the tortoiseshell glasses was Joni, who asked, why Boris, what's his name from England's hair looks so bad. So, yeah, she was really good. She was very thorough in her
That's good.
Stuff. Yeah. So it was good. But yeah, Mark, you're probably going to get asked to sign. She had a copy. She whipped it out and asked us to sign it at the end of the meeting.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know. You want me to sign the article? You autograph the article? All right, I will. But yeah, so those of you who want to look, it's the New Yorker, and it's Astrology for the Millennial. And the reporter was actually really good. She asked a lot of good questions. She came out for dinner, you know, after Mark and I do the lecture, we go out, you know, people that want to go out for dinner, go out for dinner. She came out to dinner and she talked and then she came
back.
Wonderful. She came to the group three times. So,
good
yeah.
research for her.
Mm-hmm. And we got a nice note from the from the Open Center, you know, because we mentioned them in the article. So the manager, the promotions guy or somebody wrote me today. So I responded to him and forwarded it to Mark. But, yeah, you know, it's good. It was positive, and it was
excellent.
About how astrology is a helpful tool for getting you through the day. So, so it's on the Internet. You all can read it if you don't have a subscription to The New Yorker. Or you can be like Vern and go buy one. She went to Barnes & Noble to find it and then
you
and
can find it. Both you and I posted it on the Facebook page for Access Astrology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there if anybody wants. The link is there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good place to do. Yeah. So it's good. But, yeah, the Mars-Pluto, I think we need to spend just a little bit more time on because I do think we're going to really feel it this next few days because you feel it in the 5 degrees approach, and it perfects on Tuesday. But that means that with Mars, I find you feel it building up as we're coming through. As it builds up, it's not, you know, like some like Saturn and Uranus are exact on the moment of the degree, but Mars you feel kind of territory, you know, when it actually perfects, it's like over. But also because we're having an occultation.
Ominous.
Yeah, we're having an occultation this week. Both Saturn and Pluto are hitting the moon. They're all at the same degree of declination. This weekend promises to be a little bit intense too. So what
it
do you guys
does.
Think
and
about it?
At the moment, Mars and Venus are in mutual reception. They're in each other's signs. But Venus is about to go into Sagittarius, which helps in that it takes away some of that impetus for revenge, but not completely. And Mercury will be retrograding back to conjunct Pallas Athena. It's only a degree apart now as Venus moves forward. So there's that desire to be right. And when people get righteous and they decide to be right, they're going to be it. God damn it. And you find yourself really standing on, like, this is it. And I am right. You know you're wrong. So, you know, it's going to be a little like, never mind, afterwards. So be careful if you hold your, you know, find yourself really digging in your heels. Just, like, stop and get some facts. Get some objectivity in there would be my suggestion.
Right.
But I think the Venus leaving Scorpio will help. It's like the only positive thing I see giving us a bit of a break in this process. And Mark,
you know,
it's not so strong. Go ahead, Mark.
Belligerent. I watch out for belligerent.
Yeah.
There's a real tendency with
Mars
Pluto for people to be belligerent.
Yep.
And if you notice that, well, there's really no way to address belligerence. You just have to let it bounce off.
Yep.
And don't even try to come to grapple with it. Let it wait. Let the issue wait.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, also with the energy of Venus and Sag, though, my concern is that she's when she gets like that, she gets a little no disrespect meant to the Sagittarius listeners. Sagittarius can be very outspoken, and so it can be a little bit fuel the fire. Because she is ruling the Uranus, which is also aspecting the Sun, and she is ruling the Mars now in Libra. So that just, to me, that means the fires are going to get bigger in California, but that people are also going to be fiery, you know, because Mars is squaring Pluto, you know, the level of destruction. Although I did think it was pretty funny. There was a thing that flew by on the Internet today. the goats that eat the grass around the Ronald Reagan Airport that they use for lawn mowing prevented the fires from getting there because they created a place where the fire doesn't burn.
Well,
I thought that was pretty nice that the good little Capricorn goats protected the president, Saturn and Capricorn, from the fire
that's
coming, Mars. Yeah, so And of course, Capricorn rules goats. So.
And that Mars is in an air sign, Libra, and it's not particularly strong in Libra, but Mars in Libra square, so there can be. I've also seen some passive aggressive snafus, but it can help again take some of the sting out. But square Pluto can be covert action and also wind. I see that because Mars is in an air sign, square Pluto, you know, the deadly winds that are really pushing the fires right now. And that were very strong here in the worst of that caused, you know, ground blizzards in when we had just, you know, 4 inches of snow. But the winds were so intense that there was a fair amount of car accidents because of the winds.
Really? Wow. So,
yep.
Wow.
And yes, astrology works with weather. For those of you who are going, you think astrology causes the winds? I'm like, yeah, it does.
The symbols act out all over the place. So, like, you know, that's what we love about astrology is that those symbols have ways of manifesting very concretely in events, in weather, in our metaphysics, in our emotional life, but with a lot of choice about how. So, you know, what we try to do, people is like, okay, I see that danger, but how do you want to handle it in a different way? And, you know, Mark pointed out, you know, if you find yourself feeling belligerent, you know, wiggle your chin and take a step out and take a deep breath and think about it, think it through. Rather than just get stuck there with your heels dug in.
Yeah, because the tendency is going to want to be to get stuck, dug in, dig in.
Yeah.
Everybody's feeling just a little bit cranky. And, you know, I mean, what I did today was I thought, oh, I'll do this, this, and this. And I thought, no, I'm just going to stay home in my little house, and I'm going to work on my projects. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm just going to do my work, answer the emails as they came in, which I did. But it was really very productive because the other thing you can do with this energy, because it is productive energy, is really harness it to get a bunch of stuff done. So I did. I updated my website.
Yep.
I did all these emails. I figured out. I really sat down at my desk, and I basically sat here all day long doing stuff, listening to political podcasts that I was behind on. And deleting emails, you know, like I cleaned up my emails, getting ready for the Mars retrograde. But, yeah, for folks who, as we know, this is a Scorpio retrograde, too. So you do – Scorpio kills things. So you do want to back up your computers. This is one of the ones you really want to be on your backups with because it doesn't make – you know, it does tend to burn out electronics, especially with Uranus – going to be talking to it. You know, the energy of Uranus is involved a little bit because it's in kicking up. So, you know, so just, you know, back up everything. You know, we don't really think about it until we lose it. I remember once going to the Apple store and the guy saying to me, well, I can do this, but, you know, maybe everything on your phone will be gone. And I kind of looked at him. I went, like, really? Everything? And he's like, huh? And he goes,
man.
You backed it up, right? And I'm like, no, I never even thought about backing up my phone, you know? Never even thought about it. So, yeah, not good. But it's, you know, that's the way it is. So,
right.
Yeah.
On that note, should we check in on the phone calls?
Sure. That sounds like a plan. Let me pick up one. All right, I got a 203. Hi, 203-907. How can we help you?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I really enjoy your shows.
Wonderful.
My birth date is 10/26/1955.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. At 4:59 a.m., and my husband's.
And where were you born?
Where were you born?
Oh, I'm sorry, in New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay,
I spoke with you once before, Heather, so thank you for that.
Sure.
And my husband's is May 16th, 1956, at 1:01 p.m.
And where were you born?
And also in New Haven.
Okay. And how can we help you?
I think I've let you know before. He has some neurological issues, and his health is not great. And
right.
I've also been having just some other not like his, but some other things going on related to that kind of thing as far as caretaking and all that. And I'm just concerned about what we're looking at going forward. If you have any ideas or any suggestions about his situation, my situation, he's suddenly having more difficulty with his short-term memory, and we were trying to figure out if there was some kind of a fall or what.
What kind of neurological situation is he under? Because it looks like something is intensifying, but more his chart is about getting out of there, like wanting some freedom from his situation, like he's leaving his body and not remembering what's going on. That's one of the things that I'm seeing. Your chart has just been dealing with so much. And the I see is stress for you, and feeling like you're not getting nurtured enough. And it looks like for the next 10 months, your progressed moon in Cancer is going to be opposing Saturn and opposing Pluto, and kind of testing your chart a bit and saying, you really want a change, but this is a slow process. And this year, this may be the last year that you have to be front and center and handle everything.
Right.
And because the situation looks like you need more help than you're getting, and now how do you maneuver it into a situation where you get that help?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm seeing. And what do you see?
What did you say you saw in her chart? I'm looking for the progression you saw, the Saturn-Pluto.
I'm just looking at her progressed moon.
Coming into Neptune.
Oppose.
Got it. Coming into Neptune. Okay, got it.
And I see, the just layers here. What do you see with her chart?
I would totally agree that there needs to be more support. There's just a lot of energy feeling like everything's leaving, and then the progressed midheaven turning into Virgo is pretty hard. And then you are going to have some relief of it with the Neptune getting on to the Chiron. I think that often can be some support. But you've also got Uranus going over back and forth over your Sun. He's going to go back to 2.5, and that is kind of unexpected changes. In terms of your husband, he's got in your chart, he's got the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, which has been activated a bit it will be activated the next few months too as Saturn comes to trine it. And so his health, the Neptune opposite the Pluto and the Uranus indicate that there can, the health got up that high and then it backed off and now it's aggressing. So there is a lot of stuff about him maybe needing more support than you can give too. As a caretaker, it's an enormous job, but it does look like you get some relief when we get to January and the Saturn Pluto joins. And then if we're looking at his chart, there's a lot in terms of his progressed Sun is now at 26, and Saturn and Pluto are going to get to 22 and then kind of go back and forth over his Sun all this next year. But his progressed Moon is in Sag, and that is, him kind of he's getting a Neptune square from that. So that Neptune square may be some of the memory stuff you're seeing with him. Where he's forgetting stuff. Yeah. And he does have...
Is there a specific question that you had for us on this?
I guess so. I guess the thing is, I'm somebody who, I connect a lot through dreams and that sort of thing and art and whatever, big time. And I've just been, feeling like... Well, first of all, he's had a situation where, because of his disease, he... he, you know, attempted to take his own life a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So that's always been sort of hanging over all of this as well, and
yes.
and impacting everything. So, you know.
Well, he hasn't been psychiatrically stable for a while, has he?
Right, right. He's actually, right.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
So it just looks like he has such a need for attention and reassurance that he doesn't have any healthy way of getting directly. You know, he's sort of, I don't know if he really wanted to die then or if he wanted to,
he wanted
emotional emergency.
Right. And actually, that's part of the problem now because of my own, I injured my back and hip and whatever, and
mm-hmm.
it's just been kind of a nightmare. So the problem has been
mm-hmm.
I can't spend the time that I normally would with him. We don't live together, but I haven't
mm-hmm.
been able to be there in person with him. I speak to him on the phone and, you know, not all that, but it's not the same. And I know he's in a safe circumstance now. Yes, he's in a very good home with
excellent.
Good care and all that. So, Right.
Because there really is, go ahead.
It just feels like, it feels like something more is coming with all of this with him.
I agree.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't want to, you know. I know you talked about the eclipses and whatever, everything from before
mm-hmm,
1982.
Mm-hmm.
We were married then.
Right.
Okay.
You were married
in fall,
in 82. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like I know I need to take care of myself because that's what they're all, you know, everyone's telling
mm-hmm.
me, you know, that I need to spend more time on that, you know, trying to get over this. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, you know, if this
is his last go-around.
I don't
know about getting over it
is
the work. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let you to take care of yourself through this.
You have to really start
loving yourself through this and take over the role that he can no longer do, which is to be your spouse and to be your caretaker, too. Like, you really have to take
right.
care of you. And he've got him in safety and, you know, calling, giving him attention every day by phone or Skype is good,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you need to be there. I think you really need to, like, how do you take care of you? Because he's starting to drift on his own. You know, when he
right.
tried to kill himself, he started to leave the marriage.
I know. You're
at
right.
that point, you can love him dearly, but there begins to be, like, the boat is sailing across the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And your self-care is what's important here. And we don't know if it's going to be a short, medium, or long term. I would just don't wait for that. Start taking care of
right.
you now. Mark, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really, it's important for you to focus on what the limits are to what you can do for him and realize
right.
that actually being strong for you is being strong for the marriage, which is changed, but it's still there, and
right.
it will be.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll keep your connection, even though you can't communicate. And,
right.
you know, hold up your end and know that you can't hold up the other end as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. I just don't have the energy. The stress is,
what you just have to know is that it's okay that you don't do that.
You know, it is a matter of two ends, and you're holding up your end, but have faith that the other end is floating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not holding it up, but somehow it floats. And it floats because you have a history together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And also, I think when you're in this kind of time where there's these big shifts taking place, you know, a lot of times just working on a soul level with him. So I
mm-hmm.
find it very
right.
helpful, like
that's
light
right.
a candle and talk to your guides and say, can you go talk
mm-hmm.
to him
mm-hmm.
and let him know I'm here even though I physically can't be there. And also
yep.
with
mm-hmm.
your back out, I often find, you know, I'd like Louise stuff where she says, you know, when you're back out, it's a load too hard to carry. But you can talk to him on a soul level. You guys have a very deep psychic connection. So the physical connection isn't there, but every time you think of him, say, honey, I love you, and I'm sending you love. And, you know, there's a connection between you guys that's really deep, that even on a physical level, he's not, you know, maybe responding, but you can you can talk to him. And I do find the candle and the guides really, really help, because it gives enormous peace. They can help, but we have to ask for that help.
So, No, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Can I just ask you one other thing with this? Do you see what the connection is with, like, Native American Indians, whatever? I grew up in an area where we were, like, the third owners of the land from there and all of that. But there's just, like, this whole thing of indigenous people, you know, the whole, that whole thing with that and dreaming. And because I get whatever you want to call it, pre whatever things happening where I, you know, get information in my dreams or whatever about something that's going to come up. And then, you know, whether it's the next day or 2 days later, that's kind of what happens.
No, nationalities don't show in astrology, but the ability to trust your dreams and to feel part of a tribe does show in your chart. And I would say just trust that, you know, trust that some, whether you are directly connected, genetically connected, connected by spirit guides, connected, however, that you can tap into that indigenous understanding and feel, make that offering. And you may find that it's helpful for you to see how you can send money to or help a tribe. You know, can you, at a distance, support them and feel that support that comes from those lineages.
Okay.
In terms of understanding where that comes from, you have a Venus and a Mars square and joined, and they're both out of bounds. They're square to the Jupiter Uranus, and right now they're getting a big Neptune transit. So your dreams will really be very prophetic. And so I would write them down and kind of go, okay, I'm getting messages. And that's a way to kind of, another way to connect in with your guides too, like asking them for guidance and help. And it may be you're just getting support from the other side through the dreams, or through that deep connection. But you are having big dreams right now, and also kind of tied in with that sense of exhaustion. But it's, they're very strong, and they will be for the next year, year and a half. So.
And for everybody with Mercury retrograde in Scorpio, let's pay attention to our dreams this week.
Totally.
Our
time is up, I think.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Done.
We're out of time.
So sorry.
No worries.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Happy to spend it with you.
You
take care.
So, Ann Ortley, signing off from the Bright Red Desk, sending you off into the world to deal with that Mars-Pluto square.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Montana, and
Mark Waltz from New York City.
Be gentle out there, folks.
Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.